Hi Razor community, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Razor Sharp Show, where we all hang out to stay sharp. We are your hosts, Ray Milodoni and Matt Romania. Matt, can you share why our podcast exists?
Our podcast exists to educate, inspire, and motivate you to help you reach your goals and make a positive impact in the world.
That's right. And we just love making our podcast every week and want to thank you, our listeners, for all the ongoing support you have shown. If this is your first time listening, well, welcome to the Razor community.
So if you want to move the needle forward and get closer to your goals, stick around as you're going to enjoy this.
Today's guest is David Jennings, the author of Authority Content. He's also the owner of Melbourne SEO Services and Melbourne Video Productions. He also has created another business called System Hub. And so he's a very busy man, and so very grateful to have the ability to interview David Jennings today. And that's a true testament to what he's been able to create. System Hubs has been created, as you'll hear in the show, from the ability to write and create systems in order to have his businesses run on, you know, somewhat autopilot with the, you know, less of his involvement. But his book Authority Content teaches people how to really position themselves as an authority and go through the process. He'll share his 3P process, which is great to kind of really know what to do when it comes to positioning yourself as an authority. We talk about return on effort, which is a buzzword that I've been speaking a lot about, and it's about doing the work once but capturing what you're doing by the form of video or screen recording, and having that as archivable material that you can pull upon when you need to. And he shares the fact that he wrote his book by doing that and taking down, you know, the information that he's recorded over the years, or a very specific set of instructions, and use that as his framework to write the book. So it was absolutely great to chat with Dave and experience, you know, what he's gone through to position himself as an authority. So he's kind of, you know, walking the walk and not just talking the talk. He's literally gone through the process and done it many times to position himself as the authority. And now he's written a book about it. So the Razor community, are you ready to sharpen your mind? Let's meet David Jennings.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you for the introduction and very excited for this call.
Thanks for your time today, David. Let's get straight into Authority Content 101. What is authority content and how can it benefit a business?
Yeah, so I'll just take the definition straight from the book, and it's a bit of a mouthful, so I'll read it as it is and then we can unpack it. So authority content is the act of consistently creating and distributing helpful information and stories to gain the attention, engagement, and trust of a clearly defined audience with the objective of identifying those who will benefit from your products and services. So, bit of a mouthful. If we unpack it, it's about creating helpful, useful content and doing it consistently. And you do it, you create good content to capture someone's attention. Hopefully, if you're creating good content, you'll get them to engage, and hopefully they'll engage with you over a period of time. And if you do that long enough, then someone starts to trust you. Now, when you're creating this content, you've got to be very particular with the audience that you're creating this content for. And it's almost like the person who engages in that content, it's like they self-select themselves as someone who might be interested in your products and services. Because by the very nature of the content you're creating, they would only be interested in that content if they could potentially become a client. So that's my definition of authority content.
Yeah, excellent. And so you've got a couple of different businesses. What are you working on? How are you running all them at once?
Yeah, so it's funny when I think about them now and I look at them, they feel a little bit disconnected, but as they've grown organically, they're very much connected. So my primary company is Melbourne SEO Services, and we've got a sister company, which is Melbourne Video Productions. So we help people get found online. And over time, the video side of things just bubbled out because content creation became so important to doing good online marketing. And then also we've got System Hub, which is a software as a service platform that we've developed to house businesses' standard operating procedures. And that really bubbled out from this idea that I wanted the business, our businesses, to run without me. And we did that through developing processes and procedures. And we built this tool internally to help house all of those processes and procedures. And now we offer that as a service that people can sign up for. So,
wow.
Yeah, it kind of feels that. A little bit separate, but no, still connected.
It's great. It's great. So it's like you went and solved a problem that you had in your own business, but then also realized that that would help other people to scale their businesses. And now you offer that as a service. So fantastic.
And is there a best way to start understanding your audience?
Yeah. So depending on whether or not you're a startup or an established business, if you're an established business, really it's about going and talking with your salesperson or whoever is already talking with your target market, your prospects and your clients. And more than likely, you're going to be receiving or they're going to be getting frequently asked questions. These questions that they'll get asked the same thing over and over, every prospect that comes across their table, oftentimes probably a good 80% of the questions are going to be very similar. So that's a really good place to start. And I think designing an avatar about your target market, thinking about, well, who is it that you are marketing to? Who is a perfect client for you? And really getting into their head and thinking about, well, what is it that they would be looking for just prior to them making a purchasing decision? What conversations are going on in their head? What are they typing into Google when they head over to Google? Even head over to Google, start typing in some queries around what you think they would be typing in and see what Google suggests under their Google Predict or related phrases. That's one way. If you're a brand new startup and you really don't know much about that audience, I think you need to have those conversations. So seeking those people out who you think might be interested in your audience or in your products or service and asking them some questions to try and understand what's going on for them and what's important. And also just doing research online. It could be as simple as heading over to some forums and seeing, well, what questions are people asking. And then that gives you a really good idea of the type of content you should be creating, because that's ultimately what we're looking at doing. We're looking to create content that helps to answer people's questions at the right point in the buying cycle. So we want to be answering the questions that they're asking just at the point of them making a purchasing decision.
And so what inspired you to write the book Authority Content? Where did that kind of come from?
Yeah, look, the biggest thing came from a lot of the clients that we work with. This is a strategy that we've been applying in our own business for more than 10 years, or actually probably around that sort of 7 to 10 year mark I've been doing it. And then we started to find with a lot of businesses as we worked with them that they struggled to create consistent content. And to market well online these days, you need to have a consistent flow of content, because everybody's attention is getting pulled every which way. You need to be consistently in front of your target market to capture their attention. Yet most business owners, they get caught up in the day-to-day of running their business and they prioritize down the importance of writing an article and posting it on their blog or making a video, creating a podcast. Like, that's pretty time consuming stuff. So for our clients, we wanted to develop a process where that could be batched and the client could create a whole lot of content in one day that would then fuel their content creation over the next, 6 months. It's kind of similar the way that you batch, the way that you do your interviews for the Razor Sharp show. And we talked about that just before we started, how you put them all in and on one day you crank out a whole lot of them. And it's the same thing for content creation for clients as well. We find sometimes getting content out of them is a bit like drawing blood from a stone.
Yeah.
But if we do it all in one go, it's much easier.
And I'm glad you mentioned the word process in there, because I know you're a huge advocate of good systems and processes. So I wanted to get your thoughts if there are some best practice processes for a good authority content strategy.
Yeah, I'm a little bit biased again when it comes to the process for doing it. Definitely grabbing a copy of the book Authority Content, and at the moment we've got a promo on. It's only $1 on the Kindle, but that is a complete process mapped out for the way that we, from recording the content, we start off with video to coming up with, well, what are you going to talk about? Then once you've recorded all of that content, where does that content live on your website and how do we optimize it? And then how do we take that content and then chop it up into pieces and then share it around the web? So it's a very well thought out process from start to finish. But the way that you need to do it, and it's the same with anything in business, is it's great to find a process that resonates with you. And that might be from, you know, something that Matt says in one of his earlier podcasts. It might be a course that you've purchased that really made sense for you. And you take that process, and then what you want to do is you tweak it and you customize it a little bit to suit your own circumstance. Also, that enables you to take ownership of the results of that particular system when you deploy it. And then I always like to think in terms of systems. I like to think about what is the step one, what is step two, what is step three, and try to document that, which enables you to then delegate it. It's much easier for you to pass it down the line and get a team member to step in. Even in the early days, it might just be you if you're in a startup for your business and you're going to be doing lots of these things. But if you can create a bit of a process, it will make you more efficient because now you know the order in which you need to do things. But it also sets things up for when you do start to build up a bit of a team or look to do some outsourcing. You now have a structure that you go through. I like to think of it almost like a little bit of a conveyor belt. For the authority content process, you run a one-day workshop to batch that content creation. That's kind of step one. And once you've got that content, then we prepare it to live on your website. So we create a resource that is like an open resource on your website. We did it just recently actually with a swimming pool manufacturer. And they created a swimming pool buyer's guide that lives on their website and answers all of the questions that people ask just prior to them making a swimming pool purchasing decision. So things like, should I go for concrete or fiberglass? And how close can I build a swimming pool to my house? And how long does it take to build a swimming pool? Those types of questions we built into a resource that now lives on their website that helps to answer that. Those questions as someone's doing their research, and we get to optimize it as well. And then the final stage, that chopping it up and sharing it around, is giving you fodder. Like a one day's workshop, you might get 25, 30, 40 videos out of that one day, and you can share that now over a 3 or 6 month period. So in one day, you create 6 months worth of content that can then be taken and repurposed and shared across your social media and emailed out to your database. And it's got a lot of benefit, obviously, engaging the audience through social media. You also get the organic effects with Google SEO. It also helps with conversion because we're putting out content that's at the right point that helps people make a buying decision. So there's a lot of different benefits that come from it.
Yeah. And I think business owners are always, and entrepreneurs, busy at the mechanical side of their business, and they know that they need to be generating content, or, you know, the blog and all that kind of goes to the later list. And we all know that later lists never get done.
Yeah.
So you've got to schedule it in. And so take the audience through, because I've been around some of the things you've done. I first got exposed through what you do through Troy Dean. And I saw what Troy Dean did with his weekend workshop. Maybe explain a little bit to the audience exactly, like, you know, some of the methods that you kind of recommend, or how you kind of do it in one day and then have a year's worth of content.
Yeah, so the idea of authority content, I break it up into what I call the three P's. So there's present, product, and promote. So that first P, presenting, is all about thinking, right, who is it are we trying to attract into a certain business? Like, what is their perfect target market? And we think about, well, what questions are those people asking just prior to them making a purchasing decision? And then we plan out a full day where they can answer those types of questions, and they can talk about their business philosophy. They can talk about how they developed or deliver their products and services. And sometimes it's the business owner, sometimes it's staff members, and occasionally they might even bring in some outside experts that can help round that out. But what we do is we get them to present a full day's worth of content. We even suggest that they get a mini audience, whether that's some clients or prospects or even just the team, because we find with a little bit of an audience, it forces whoever is presenting the material to do it in one take and get it just right. Whereas a lot of times if people try and create content, you know, maybe they try and create a video, they pop into a studio, and we see it all the time here. This is the Melbourne Video Production Studio you can see behind me. Someone will book out a studio for half a day and they'll end up shooting one video. Wow. And it's just like, you're not going to get any traction just with one video, but by doing the batching of content creation and presenting it in front of an audience, it forces you to create a whole lot of content in one day. And oftentimes we can get, when we take that content they record, we can chop that up into little pieces, and they might get 25, 35, 40 different videos that were all created in that one day. So that's that first P, which is that present stage. Then we move to the second stage, which is the product phase. And depending on the type of business, this can vary slightly. If someone's selling a service, sometimes they then take what it is that they did on that first stage and turn it into a product that they sell. So it could be a digital product that is an upsell for someone. If they purchase their service, maybe it can be something they bonus in or something, you know, that just helps to position them as the authority, the expert. That doesn't always work for every business, though. I mean, some businesses that we've worked with, and a good example I talk about a bit is our we worked with a swimming pool manufacturer, and they're not going to sell a home study course on how to make your own swimming pool. Like, that just seems a little bit crazy. So when we did authority content for them, what we did is we helped them develop a buyer's guide on how to purchase a swimming pool. And we answered questions, things like, how much does a swimming pool cost? Should I go for concrete or should I go for fiberglass? How do I fit that into my plans when I'm building a house? All the types of questions that someone would be asking just prior to them making a purchasing decision for a swimming pool. We answered that content, and now it lives on their website as a free open resource. It's chopped up into little sections, nicely organized, very well optimized. And that's the way that you might approach it for a business where it doesn't make sense to sell a digital product. Yeah. And then the final stage is the promote phase, where we then take that content and we chop it up into little pieces and we repurpose it. So because we're starting with video, obviously we've got some video content there, but we can then cut out the audio, and now we've got something that could be shared on SoundCloud or iTunes or somewhere else. We can also take the audio and then get it transcribed, and then that can get shared out to PDF sharing sites. You know, we can take the video and the transcript and pair them together, and they can become optimized blog posts. We can see which pieces of content are getting most engaged and pass that off to a ghostwriter, and they can rewrite it and turn it into a high quality article. We can watch which bits of content get well engaged and turn them into infographics. So there's lots of different things you can do to take to repurpose. And we've kind of developed this into a bit of a smooth process where the business owner really, they just work on that first step, the present step, and everything that happens beyond that can be systemized, process-driven, and passed out to team members. So it becomes a much easier way for a business owner to potentially create 6 months' worth of content. They don't need to push all of this content out in one go. They could then start to push out one or two pieces of content every single week, and now they're starting to put out high-quality, engaging content that's useful, helpful, and relevant, and do it on a consistent basis. And that's
love that.
And I mean, for those who still aren't over the line on that, you know, the time issue, I wanted to ask you if you can share the three major elements business owners can use to shortcut their authority, just to give them some, you know, easy wins, so they can see that, oh, this actually works, this authority thing. I better get on to crafting my strategy.
One of the best ways to build authority quickly is actually through case studies. So finding some of the best clients that you've already worked with in the past that fit your target market, like they're your exact ideal client, getting them a great result, and then having a case study with them, whether or not that's in live video or a podcast or whatever the case may be, where you sit down and you fully talk through their experience. Talk about the before, during, and after. The before, how did they come across you and your business? What reservations did they have just prior to deciding to work with you? What pushed them over the line? What made them decide they wanted to work with you? Then once they worked with you, what was that like? How much input did they need? What was the end result? You know, how was it working with you or your team or buying your product and service? Get them to explain that. And then, hey, now that you're on the other side, what was, looking back, what parts of that experience did you like? And what would you say to someone else who was thinking about working with your business? What would you say to them? And getting as many of those as possible, that really is one of the best ways to shortcut authority, because it demonstrates that you can deliver on your promises. It becomes a fantastic selling tool, because now when you're talking to a prospect, you can say, hey, yep, we also had a client, Jane, who was just like you, and she had the same reservations as you. She went ahead and worked with us, and she got the great result. In fact, here is the case study that you can listen to where Jane tells you her story. That is probably one of the best ways I know to shortcut authority. The other ways, some things it's hard to hack and get the super quick shortcut. Having a body of work, usually you'll notice experts and authorities in spaces tend to have done a lot of thinking around a particular subject. And that's where it becomes hard to shortcut creating the content. We try and shortcut it with the authority content process, but that's something that will need to grow organically over time. The other way to, you know, some shortcuts around getting authority, one is your web presence. Spending time making sure that your website reflects, you know, puts you and your best foot forward. That is another way, because people will judge a book by its cover. They will come to your website and within a very short space in time make a decision as to whether or not they feel like they can trust you, whether or not you're an authority, whether or not, you know, they're going to continue looking at the website. So putting that best foot forward with a modern website that has the information that you know that they're looking for, try and find, well, who are the industry leaders in your space that you're trying to play in, and what elements from them can you see on their website that you can make sure that you quickly build into your website? So modeling, that's another quick way for sort of shortcutting authority. I'm not a huge fan of the fake it till you make it. I think it's a good idea to be real about where you are. If you're not the number one player, don't say that you are. Say, you know, hey, we are a smaller company that's really passionate about this, and as a result, you end up getting much more personalized experience than you would ever get from some of these big boys. So find out where the perceived weakness is and actually flip it on its head and turn it into a strength. So, hey, you don't have any clients yet. Okay, well, the strength there now becomes I'm just starting out in this space. I'm looking for a few prime example case studies that I can point to. And, you know, if you come on as one of those early clients, I'm going to work with you like 100 men, because I want to make sure that I get a great result for you and you become a raving fan and you become my case study. So now I'm selling the idea of, you know, that perceived weakness of, well, where's your track record? Now you're selling it as part of the strength. So really identifying what those are and then looking for the ways to turn them on their head is another way to do it.
Love that. It makes me so happy, because it's, you know, it Razor community really understand that, you know, I keep saying this word, return on effort. And that's what it really is about these days. It's being able to do the work once and have the ability to repurpose it over and over and over. And I just love, you know, the fact that, you know, I see it all the time where people will create a 3-hour video and feel like they have to publish that all as one bit of content. And through your book and the systems and processes that you teach and that I've been lucky enough to be around in person and, you know, through the web content and so forth, you know, has really taught me the ability to also drip your content out in stages and to repurpose it for the video version, the audio version, the blog post version. And then you start getting feedback from all that. So you get to create more content by answering relevant questions that your ideal clients are actually asking, as opposed to guessing what they want. So I absolutely love that process.
And Razor Community, there's some great easy wins in there that David has mentioned for you to really test out the power of content and authority content. And once you kind of see the power of authority content, then you might want to start really developing your strategy and start using things like video and that kind of thing. And I guess, David, when we're implementing our strategy, are there some like common stumbling blocks that we'll need to overcome?
Yeah, some of the big ones, I often say if you're looking for an excuse, any excuse, you'll find one. So it's the same with this idea of, let's say, creating video content. Okay, well, it's too technical. It's going to cost too much. I don't have the time. Who's going to want to listen to me? Like, there's any infinite number of reasons why you shouldn't do something. And if you're looking for that, you'll find it. But on the flip side, if you're looking for reasons to do something, you'll find those too. And the fact is, creating this type of content, and especially leaning on the video content, it is the low-hanging fruit because of a lot of those perceived reasons why you shouldn't, or those excuses. That's the reasons that your competition don't do it. So just getting started and getting that ball rolling and understanding the first video that you create is going to be the worst video you ever create and everything is going to only get better from there. And you can go to the local university and find a final year student who's looking to build up his portfolio and say, right, you know, I'll pay you $20 an hour, $25 an hour to come and work with me and get a really great result that way, or you might even get some people who do it pro bono because they just want to get those runs on the board. So there are ways to work around those perceived hurdles. So I think not starting is definitely a big common mistake. The other common mistake is not correctly identifying the target market and creating the content that would be relevant to them at the right point in time. So if we're talking about using authority content as a way to attract in new businesses, a good example is we worked with this domestic cleaning company, and they were creating some content before they started working with us, but they were creating content like, how do I iron the perfect shirt? And how do I clean the grout from within my shower? And the problem with that type of content, one, it was good in one way. A small amount of that type of content demonstrates that, yes, I'm an expert and we've got these expert techniques, but it's not necessarily going to attract in the right target audience, because the person who's on YouTube searching for how do I clean the grout within a shower isn't the person who is going to be looking to get a cleaner to come into their house. So we wanted to create content and started creating content for them around things like, how do I prepare my house for a cleaner before they come? And should I be getting my pets outside when a cleaner comes? And should I feel guilty about getting a cleaner? These are the types of questions that someone would be asking prior to them making a decision if they want to get a cleaner. And we're answering those questions. So yeah, a common mistake is creating the wrong type of content. If you think of the metaphor of going fishing, we need the right bait to catch the right fish, and we need the right content to catch the right user. So you need to be very conscious about thinking, well, who are we trying to catch? Where are they in the buying cycle? And what is it that they're asking, so that we can make sure we're creating the right content at the right space? But they're probably, I mean, the two biggest ones is either not starting for whatever reason and seeing it as important but not urgent. We need to move it up to being an important and urgent task. And then also, once you get started, making sure you're actually creating the right type of content.
How do we go about measuring that? Like, what does success look like in terms of authority content?
Yeah, so part of the process is as you start to put out content, you want to monitor which pieces of content get the most engagement, and you then do more of what's working. So if you're just getting started out and you're not quite sure what type of content to be creating, it's good to create a variety of content around the different topics to do with your products and services. And then you start putting that content up on YouTube and Facebook and sharing it on Twitter and, you know, LinkedIn, whatever social media platforms make most sense for you and where your target market is. And then you'll identify which bits of content are getting the most engagement. And you'll find you might put out a whole bunch of content, and this one video that you put out, you know, one in the last 10 pieces, for some reason seems to be getting 5 times, 10 times as many views, and people are actually engaging in it. And that's the type of content then you double down on. How can we create derivative works of that? How can we create more content like that? How can I then start to magnify and boost that content? If I've got a bit of a marketing budget, now maybe I take that and start running paid ads on Facebook that push straight to this content that I know people are actually engaging in. And it's the way to really monitor it is by seeing which bits of content are performing best and what's getting you the best results. I think there's a bit of a misnomer in business that you kind of look to your areas of weakness and try and improve those, where I actually think it makes more sense to really get clear on the areas where things are working and do more of those.
So Dave, thank you very much for coming on the show. I know the Razor community will absolutely get lots of value from what you've shared today.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure. Thanks for that, Ray.
No worries. Well, thanks very much for hanging out. Until next time, stay sharp.
The Razor Sharp Show is brought to you by Podcast Launch Co. Podcasting tips, tools, and coaching. Visit www.podcastlaunch.co.